All right, Luke chapter 10. We're going to start reading from Luke 10:38. Can you please stand with me, though, if you're able to? Again, we're going to start by picking up at verse 38, Luke chapter 10, verse 38, as we continue on in our series. Luke 10, verse 38. It says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your holy word. And we ask, God, can you please open up our understanding of your word, Lord? We know that the natural person cannot discern these things in your word. They're spiritually discerned. We need your Holy Spirit, the author of the scriptures, to open up our understanding. So please do, Lord, help us to hear from you. Help us to discern your conviction that you bring upon our hearts. The Holy Spirit comes to convict us of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, our Messiah, our Savior, Jesus. Because of your love, he died for us, for all of our many sins on the cross. And you didn't just save us from the fires of hell. You didn't just give us entrance into heaven for all eternity to be with you, but also to spend time with you now, Lord, to have that fellowship with you. This is what you're testing us with, and certainly in this congregation, what you're wanting us to do. Train us, equip us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would. I'm going to open by saying and asking you this question, but did you know that your life has one main need? You have one main need in life. That's it. One thing. One main need. In my 22 years of being here now in New York City as a missionary church planter, coming from sunny Southern California, I've realized and I've seen a lot of church plants in New York City. They come and go, they ebb and flow, they fly, and they fail. A lot of them do. Could it be that the tough soil here in New York City, that the spiritual life that we need to have and maintain with the Lord, that it has a tendency with this tough soil to cause people to be worriers like Martha, more than worshipers like Mary? I think some of that may factor into church plant failures. So what is it that God has done with us here? Certainly not because of me or my faith. He wanted a Bible teaching church here in this area, and he was thinking of you all. And he wanted us to be, just even as he had me start here, I didn't know anybody really. It was just me. I had my guitar, different guitar back then. Had a guitar. Just on my knees and on my face in a one-car garage here in this area of Middle Village, Queens, New York City. Not knowing anybody and not being able to really fellowship with anyone. My calling being able to teach God's word and to make disciples, it was really tough. But, you know, not knowing anybody here. I didn't know you guys. And so I spent a lot of time in worship. And coming back to that now, as we just celebrate our 20-year anniversary for this church, I come to realize, you know, thank you guys, too, for your grace and allowing me that space, that time. A lot of times I just, like, move forward, keep charging forward. But in having that time to spend with the Lord, I've realized, especially recently, he wants me to remain the worshiper, to stay more like the Mary. So as the family grows, not just our family at home, the Sagawa family, but the church family, as us, as we grow, God's adding more people in. From the start, it was just a prayer, God, bring people in and connect me with people that have a hunger for your word. Kind of hard to find in New York City. But he's done it. He's thinking of each and every one of you. We didn't want just a gathering of people. I knew as a DJ, it's not hard to gather people together. There are really easy strategies that you do in the world. You could throw a lot of money at it. And I think some churches are planted that way. But we need to be based on basically the Bible and Jesus. And depicted greatly here with Mary. So maybe it's a matter of us as a congregation, a fellowship of Christians here. Yes, we want to teach and preach the entirety of the Bible, God willing to teach it within context without man-made doctrine. Yes, it's tough to find in this area. But we need to, if I could say so, maybe even more importantly, as we go and grow forward, we need to remain worshipers at his feet. Because there comes a time, a tendency with intellectualism, where I could stuff all the stuff in my head, all this teaching, and then I might spend time with the Lord, and he might rebuke my heart like he did with a church we'll look at later on that he says to in the Bible. So we need to remain the worshipers like Mary and not just do a bunch of stuff like Martha. Amen. We did that already this morning. We put together 400 bags. Praise God. The folks that are servants of this church, there's a whole bunch of you guys. Thank you. You guys make it happen here. And we're going to, God willing, in about an hour, we'll be on the streets right here, right on the sidewalk, just as soon as we get out the door, as soon as the service is over. We'll be representing the Lord Jesus Christ, doing sidewalk outreach. But let's not be so focused on our public ministry that we forget the private ministry like Mary. Amen. So we'll see later on, God willing, what Jesus said to another church in the Bible. But first, to quickly recap our time so far, we're going through this mini-series. Typically, again, and I haven't done this. I even checked on my own records in the past 22 years since I landed here. This is, God willing, the second time we're going through the entire New Testament. Every book of the Bible, every chapter, every verse, and in my study time, every Greek word in the original language going through it. But the Lord, I believe, is saying for us to pause going through on that Bible bus tour. Just kind of like parking the bus, opening the door, let's get out for a little bit. And let's spend time being the worshiper. And recapping what we've been going through here in Luke 10, verse 38 to 42, here's some lessons that we learned so far. Here's some things that you and I need to see and apply. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus. That's a picture of worship, as seen best by Mary. You see that in verse 39. We also looked at the continual hearing from the Lord. That's verse 39 also. Speaking of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, in the Greek language, it's not translated this way in your English Bibles, but she kept hearing his word. She didn't just hear his word like, oh, I got 5 seconds to do a devotional time with you this morning, and then the bus is coming, or then I got to run out to my job. She kept hearing his word. And then third, we looked at the fact of we can be continually distracted from worship. That's a picture not of worship, but of worry. Not like with Mary, but with Martha. You'll find that in verse 40. And also we looked at last week, not allowing. Don't let things stop you from worship. And just like with Martha, you see, again, in the original Greek language, it was her fault. You got no one to blame. Martha had no one to blame but herself, including me, including you. Because every single one of us, once you become a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, you have God himself living within you. And he's continuing to preach to you, right? Spend time with me. Spend time with me. Is that any of you? And I bet, even as some of you have shared these past couple of weeks, some of you have been more convicted on that. Who here has been more convicted? Good. Because it's not just me. That's also myself. So God willing, today, we're going to look at, as we move forward in verse 42, one thing. And I want to preface this by saying today's teaching may be the single most important teaching you will ever learn as a Christian. As a Christian, I got a caveat. I got to phrase it that way. Once you're a born-again Christian, this teaching you will find may be the most important teaching you'll ever learn. This is why I want to slowly go through this. We'll get to see that you have one thing as a need. Let that sink in, Christian. I'll let that breathe out upon your heart as the Holy Ghost speaks to you. You have one main thing, one main need. And then listen to how your flesh, your Martha mind, might sit there and go, but I got to do this. I got to do work. I got to fix the food for the kids. Who else is like that? You got to rebuke that Martha, so to speak, right? You have one thing. Oh, Drew, this is just you telling me. No, it's not just me. It's not just this church. This is Jesus. Where is that at? It's in the Word, right? These are the words of Jesus. What does he say, verse 42? But one thing is needed. So here's how I was challenged decades ago. And I want to pass on that challenge to you. Look in your Bible. Find where else in the entire Bible does Jesus say that your life has one need. You won't find it. You can go through a red letter Bible, and I have, and you can look at every single word of Jesus, everything he said. This is the only place, Luke 10 verse 42, where he says, you've got one need. Martha has a lot of things that she allowed to come in, but here's your one thing, your one need. And it's depicted by who? By Mary. At the feet of Jesus. So again, today's teaching may be the most single important teaching you're ever going to learn as a Christian. So again, the point that I don't want you to leave with or leave without learning is that your life has one main need. Now, I did the homework so you don't have to. Where Jesus says, and you see it here on the display, he says, but one thing is needed. In the original language, this word for needed is translated into English as needed. The Greek word I circled here in one of the Bible dictionaries. This comes out of Thayer's. You can look this up on Blue Letter Bible, or if you have Bible study software, you can look it up as well. Needed. It speaks of also necessity, duty, business. One thing is your necessity in life. One thing is your duty. One thing is to be what your life is, to make business. But I have my own business. It's in my name. I pay the IRS. Jesus doesn't refer to that. Because businesses will come and go. Friends will come and go. People will come and go. But this one thing will not. And what is that? That's best pictured by Mary. We'll see this kind of tease out to the surface here. So this speaks of your necessity, your duty, your business. So I love how God makes this really, really simple. Don't you? Anybody like the simplicity of the scriptures? For marriage, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to or respect your husbands. Okay? These are real simple. It doesn't give you like a big laundry list. Guys, you know, we have the honey-do list, right? Our wives will give us like, oh, I'll categorize, I'll prioritize, I'll give you 20,000 things. Some of our wives are really good at that. But I love what Jesus does here. He says, one thing is needed. So to sum up, if you miss everything so far in this series, and we're slowly going through this one most important paragraph, at least for us here, to sum it up in Luke 10, verse 38 to 42, your life has one main need. What is that? You can say it this way. Remaining at the feet of the Lord and hearing from him. You and I could read and study and memorize the Bible, but not hear from the Lord. Amen? We could sing and worship him or sing out musical worship, but not be worshiping him. We got to be careful of that. We can pray and give him all our prayer requests. Technically, that's called supplication. That's not prayer. If you look up that word for prayer in the Greek language, you also get it. This word that's synonymous with prayer, worship. So when Paul writes in the New Testament, prayer and supplication, another way you could look at it is worship and prayer requests. Oh. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication or worship and prayer requests. Let your requests be made known to him, but also with thanksgiving. How do you say that? Con gracia? With thanksgiving. So remaining at his feet, hearing from him. So guys, your life has one main need, one main duty, one main business to be busy about. And what? What is that? Remain at his feet. Learn to hear from him. Now, if you're to, I see a bunch of you guys, you like taking snapshots or online, maybe you guys will see this. If you set up your life, hey God, I want to do just this and make this the priority. Everything else is not a priority. Just like you're telling Martha here. You're rebuking Martha. Just like you're doing, just watch how your flesh will try to justify everything else. Or I remember another pastor saying, get out your calendar, kill everything off of it, throw away your project management system, all your tasks, all your to-dos, and as you have your calendar empty for every day of the week, put Jesus, 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 Jesus. And then watch as your life starts to unfold. You start, let me get the eraser. No, work, work. I don't have time for you, Lord. You understand. Next month. That's what happens when we go into what we call Martha mode. Anybody else like that? Anybody else suffer from that disease? We all do. We all do, right? So Mary's habit. Guess what her habit was when you study this Mary? There's a bunch of Marys in the Bible. Which Mary is this? This is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is not Mary Magdalene. I guess that's important because some people confuse Luke chapter 10 with Mary Magdalene. Magdalene means what? Magdala. Mary from the town or city of Magdala. That's Mary Magdalene, the one that supposedly was a prostitute, some would say, or was demon-possessed with how many demons? Seven. That's not this Mary. This is Mary of Bethany. That's actually what we're told. Mary of Bethany. So Mary of Bethany's habit, I'm going to show you here on the screen. What's her habit that she did that Jesus is commending her for and pointing out to her sister Martha, rebuking Martha, but protecting Mary? And by the way, guys, Jesus seems to always be careful to protect you if you're going to be like Mary. He'll rebuke the Martha. And he'll protect you. Did Mary even open her mouth to try to protect herself? Well, let me justify myself. After all, it's my sister. She's always running things. She's always telling me what to do. She's even blaming you now, Jesus. She's not there, is she? You don't even see her opening her mouth once. I also see a picture of not just humility, but trust. May we continue to trust him, being that Mary, that worshiper, and allow Jesus to rebuke the Marthas. Amen? But will you have faith that you'll allow him to do that? Because your flesh will sit there and go, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do the other things. Here's what you see with Mary, this Mary, the Mary of Bethany. Her habit is to be at the feet of Jesus, a picture of worship. We see it here first in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, as we're slowly going through here. Also, you'll see this. Let's turn to John 11. If you're in Luke, take a right turn, go to John. You can stay there because we're going to read a couple chapters, or in a couple chapters. John 11, verse 32. Her brother's name was what? Lazarus. You guys know that story. The shortest verse of the Bible is what? Jesus wept. Two English words, right? But why did he weep? I'm not going to answer that. I'll let you study and look at the text in John 11. So Lazarus died. Look at John 11, verse 32. You could read the whole chapter to get greater context of the text. Verse 32, then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Okay, verse 35 is that famous phrase, the shortest verse in the entire Bible. Jesus wept. But what's the context? Read that, study that, and then you'll know. He sees Mary and the others. Okay, go to the next chapter. So that's also looking at Mary of Bethany, the brother, or I should say the sister of Martha, but also sister of Lazarus. Look at John 12. She's the one that anointed the feet of Jesus. This is where people get confused. Oh, no, that was Mary Magdala, Mary Magdalene. No, it wasn't. Look at this in chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to where? Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Martha served. So typically you see Martha getting up. She's doing all that stuff like many of us, including me, we can do. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. So Martha, she's always seen like in the food ministry and all. Nothing wrong with that. But some people, they just gel with that. They just love it. I came out of a restaurant background too. I love that. I kind of miss that. But some people just love and gravitate towards it. Look at verse 3. Then Mary, this is Mary of Bethany, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed, notice it says, the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Now you can read the context later on. So a thing that you can learn from this, special thing to note, is that Mary, this is Mary of Bethany, not Mary the mother of Jesus, not Mary Magdala or Mary Magdalene. And by the way, when you watch certain series, I won't even mention one of them, that's a recent one, they need to read their Bible a little more. Okay, this is not Mary Magdalene. This is Mary of Bethany. Okay, special thing to note though, this Mary, she anointed Jesus for what? Why did she anoint Jesus? For his burial. Now, we notice that this was about the week or so before his crucifixion and burial. Now, when you're studying the context of the entire text of the Gospels in this New Testament, we realize that Jesus said no less than 3 times. Please hear this out. Jesus said this no less than 3 times to his own disciples, that he's going to die and be resurrected. And just like, ladies, I won't speak about you, but just like some of us guys, some of us could be knuckleheads. I'll admit it. I'll be the first guy in the crowd to say, some of us could be knuckleheads. Some of you guys are like, yeah. But sometimes you got to say it over and over and over, and you still don't get it. Not just guys, gals too, right? Any of you guys like that? I suffer from that. We all do. So when you're reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, some of you guys are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. Some of us guys, though. I could be like that, like a knucklehead. And so Jesus told his disciples no less than at least 3 times, according to the text, that, look, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die, and I'm going to be resurrected. And yet you see the disciples, these awesome spirit-filled men of God. Later on they would be. But what are they commonly doing as they're following Jesus? They're arguing over what? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? So sometimes we get so focused on self and our selfishness, just like the disciples, they miss sight of the one that's going to be greatest in the kingdom, Christ Jesus himself, not them. So they're arguing over position and placement. It's not going to be them. And yet, this one, this is what I don't want you to miss. This one that was there in the crowd when Jesus was teaching his disciples, sitting at his feet. But notice again, just like what we learned about her habit, sitting at his feet, but she's listening. Her habit's not rebuking. That's Martha, or even the disciples. Her habit's listening to the Lord. So Jesus is her Lord, not just lip service. Her Lord, she's servant. She's a worshiper. And she didn't just hear, it seems like she got it. Where his disciples didn't get it. I don't know about you, but I love that. So we should pay attention to the fact that because Mary was listening to what Jesus had to say, and he prophesied his death, burial, and resurrection at least 3 times to his disciples, it seems like they were too busy arguing over who's going to be the greatest. That's like how a lot of times men, women too, but a lot of times men, we could suffer from like ambition. Oh, I want my name. I want this. Jesus is like, you got it all wrong. So we have someone who's constantly at his feet. That's her habit. Develop this habit, church, Christians, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. She got it. Mary of Bethany not only heard his words, but Mary paid attention to what he was saying. This is why you and I, we could read the Bible over and over and over and over and never get it. What are you talking about? God could speak to me. I read the Bible. I memorized these passages. I don't know what you're talking about. And that person's already saved, but they don't know how to hear from the Lord. It might not be that they need to read more and more, but are you listening to what the Lord is saying? Are you allowing yourself to hear his still small voice? You can read about that in 1 Kings 19. Are you allowing Jesus, the Good Shepherd, John chapter 10, to speak to you? Why? He said, my sheep hear my voice. He also said, my sheep know my voice and follow me. And they do not listen to the voice of strangers. So for many of us, we listen to the strange voices that did not come from Jesus. It didn't come from God. Amen? But we got to stop that. So Mary of Bethany not only heard his words, but she paid attention. And I love this. So let's go back to Luke chapter 10 now. Again, you could read and study about these other times when Lazarus died in John 11. She's at his feet. When she's anointing the feet of Jesus, John 12. And the disciples, including Judas, go, hey, why is she doing this? Man, she could have sold that. Leave her alone. So you see Jesus again protecting the Mary, rebuking someone else who had actually it wasn't just someone like a Martha, Judas Iscariot and the disciples. Judas Iscariot used to hold on to the money. He's trying to be holy or look religious. But what was he doing with the money? He was stealing the money, right? That's what actually was what were revealed in the Bible. And Jesus is seen here protecting Mary. You could read about that and look at dig into the context further in John chapter 12. So this was the week before his crucifixion, the week before his burial. And Jesus said, while protecting Mary, leave her alone. Don't you know? And I'm paraphrasing the story. She's preparing me. She's anointing me for my burial. And the disciples were like, what? That sounds so silly. And later on, I better remember that. He writes it down later on. Holy Spirit fills John's like, duh. The only one that got it is Mary of Bethany. And here we are rebuking her. And Jesus is rebuking us and protecting Mary. I like that. So the question that hits you and I, as we already know, it's like we're going to focus here on verse 42, this one phrase, one thing is needed. The question is, what's the solution to get us back to a life of worship, to get us back? The solution was given to another church. Go to Revelation chapter 2. It's a similar type of story. Can this happen to a church? Can this happen to this church? Is it only a Martha, a single heart, or even Pastor Drew's heart? No, this can happen to a church. We got to be very, very careful. The one need is what the church at Ephesus had left. This one need of sitting at the feet of Jesus, continuing to hear his voice. Look at this in Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to share it on the screen. You can read it up in your Bible. Revelation chapter 2, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? This is not a spiritual angel. Angel means messenger. This is probably the one, let's just say, the lead pastor of that church. The angel of the church of Ephesus, right? These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And have you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Look at verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have what? Left your first love. What does that mean even? Luke chapter 10, sing with Mary. The one thing that's needed. That's important. Now digging in this a little bit, look at verse 2. Revelation 2, verse 2. The works. These are the good works they did as Christians. And we got to be careful. This greatly grows my heart. We just bagged up 400 bags. We're doing a lot of good works here. Ephesians 2. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works. You know that because probably I've been preaching that to you in the last several years, maybe 100, maybe more times than that. That's true. It's in the word of truth. But yet we got to be careful. The church at Ephesus, they did good works. But if we're not careful as a church, even us as Calvary Chapel, then like the church at Ephesus, we could do a lot of good works. We could do a lot of public ministry. We could reach out to hundreds. We've reached probably thousands of people right here, right on our sidewalk, right here on the streets. They pass by. And by the way, I read a traffic report that was, I think, in 2022. On average, there's like 15,000 cars. That's cars. That's not the people. That's not people going on scooters or whatever. People going to the subway, the M train, or the buses. Vehicles, 15,000 a day. We have a very busy street here. And we could reach a lot of them. And we have, praise the Lord. But guess what Jesus might say? Hey, I know you're doing a lot of stuff. So we could do a lot of public ministry. We could do a lot of Bible study. We could do apologetics, like how they got into the Church of Ephesus. Labor, these are your pains, your troubles that you go through as a Christian. So Jesus says, I know your works. I see you go through a lot of troubles. Patience, the word for patience, it means a cheerful or hopeful endurance, a constancy. They were enduring as Christians. I see all the labors you're going through, the pains. I see your works, your good works you're doing. I see how you're enduring. And they were also good to have tested false teachers and false prophets. By the way, this angel, Revelation 2, verse 1, if you call this the senior pastor of the church at Ephesus, guess who that may have been in the Bible? Timothy. That may have been Timothy, the one that Paul wrote 1 Timothy to. He says, stay in Ephesus, remain in Ephesus. That's his church. The book of Ephesians, that's a church at Ephesus. When you read the book of Ephesians, great book about ministry. 1 Corinthians, a lot of rebuking. Why? A lot of confronting, a lot of flesh. That's like New York City. When I was in California, we used to jokingly call the book 1 Californians. There's a lot of, I mean, that's anywhere now, any city. But 1 Corinthians is a corrective book. Ephesians is not a corrective book. It's showing you who you are in Christ, because of Christ, through Christ, with Christ, and now what? Here's what you're to do in serving Christ. It's a book that teaches you greatly about gifts of the Spirit and your calling. 1 Corinthians, not like that. So this church at Ephesus, Paul was teaching and training them there. Also, John reportedly wrote 1 John as well as Revelation to that church. These guys, they had good doctrine. They had good teachers. Paul picked and placed Timothy there at Ephesus. He's telling them to Timothy, basically rebuke the people that are not going along with God's word. They're having a different gospel, a false gospel. So here's Jesus now in Revelation kind of giving them the report card. Hey, I see you're doing this. You're kicking out these false apostles. You're kicking away all these false prophets, false teachers. Just, you know, look at the context. They tested these false teachers. They tested the false prophets. And yet he says, I still have this against you. You left your first love. The Mary ministry. We need to focus on doing that one thing. Amen? We need to focus there. Verse 3, they persevered. They had patience. They labored for his namesake. They, quote, have not become weary. But notice Revelation 2, verse 4, to this church at Ephesus that was probably delivered to, you might call the lead pastor, may have been Timothy, at the church at Ephesus. It's a similar rebuke that he gave to Martha in Luke chapter 10. Verse 4, he says, you have left your first love. Now, this is not how some of us might go, oh, I remember the puppy love. I was in grade school. I fell in love with my teacher. Or, oh, I saw Little Rascals and, you know, oh, Mrs. Crabtree. Oh, Chubsy Upsy. No, it's not that kind of puppy love. Your first love spiritually. Who is that? Jesus. Wait a second, I'm doing all these work for you. You said I left you? Yes. And what does he say to the church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation? If you don't repent, what? Well, they're in sin? Yes. They're doing these good works for him, but they got to get back to knowing him, being with him. See, there's a interesting thing that happens for the sake of ministry. Ministry can become our God. And there's a high that you get. It's like, oh, wow, I get reward in eternity. This is awesome. In eternity, we're going to be worshipers. We're going to be servants. I'm training right now. I'm practicing for that. And if we're not careful to do our private ministry first, like Mary at his feet, before, so that it can maintain the public ministry as Martha, Jesus will give me the same rebuke. And I think he's been doing that with me. And if I know that he's been doing that with me, it's the same warning he gave to Ephesus, same rebuke he gave to Martha in Luke 10. I think he's saying that to some of the hearts here. It's as if he might say, come back to me. Come back to worshiping me. Not working for me. Remember, Jesus didn't die for employees. He died for you. He died for the people, not the place. This building is not the church. Okay? I hate when people say, oh, I got to go to that church. That's just a building. And when we're dead and gone, that building will still stand. In 2 Peter chapter 3 in the end times, God's going to just let go and everything just explodes, including this planet. And we don't got to hug trees and try to better the planet. You know, as a Christian, a God follower wants to better the environment because he created it. It belongs to him. But it's all going to do what in eternity? It's going to burn. It's going to burn. So I need to better my relationship with him. We all need to. And my guess, even already hearing back from some of you guys throughout these weeks, my guess is he's been grilling your hearts. So if I could say so, come back to the Lord Jesus. Well, I'm working for him. I'm already serving him. I'm already giving. I'm going. Maybe your heart is not with him. If he could rebuke Ephesus like that, if he could rebuke Martha, if he could rebuke me, I know he could rebuke you. You've left your first love. Maybe you got to come back to him. So what's the solution? Look at this in verse 5. Revelation chapter 2. Us preachers, we love alliteration. Remember, repent, redo. Look at how it's laid out. It's like meant for preaching here. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. What do we do? Remember, therefore, he says, from where you have fallen. And you know this in your own personal, private, devotional time with Jesus. I know this, and I've been sharing this with my wife, Susan, and many of you guys throughout the last couple of years. I've been like, pray for me, because I get the sense that God's telling me, you know, grab the guitar, worship me more. Now that time, just being Mary at his feet, he brings forth songs. I don't know how he does it. He just brings it forth. It's through spending time with him, and I'm hearing from him. I'll hear a melody. Wow, that's awesome. It just goes with scripture. Remember. So for me, remembering where I've fallen or where he built my life upon him, upon the rock, is spending time with him. For you, it might be different. It will be different. It's different for every person. So he says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent. Were they really in sin? Yes. Or else he wouldn't say these two little phrases. Repent. Repent. Okay, change of heart leads to change of mind, change of action. And do the first works. So remember, repent from whatever it is. Maybe the Martha mode. So look at the context of this in Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus. This is the church where Paul the Apostle was, where John the Apostle was, where Timothy was picked in place. And Paul wrote 1st and 2nd Timothy, these awesome books, the pastoral books too. And what does he tell them at Ephesus? You left your first love. You're doing works for me, he might say, but you got to get to know me. Stay there. Remember, where have you fallen? But they got up and they went. Yes, but they're working so much for him, they forgot him. And that can happen with any of us. Amen? I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want that to happen to us here. And perhaps some of the church plants, not just in this city, but around the world, perhaps some of them fail. Maybe not because it was not God's will. Maybe it's because the devil is so good at distracting them so that they get away from being at the feet of Jesus, hearing from him, and now they're so busy stuffed their life with stuff, they can't hear from him. And it's just so easy to quickly fall. Maybe that's one of the reasons why church plants fail. I believe so. Because I go to these pastors' conferences, Calvary Chapel even, pastors' conferences, to get taught and fed. And guess what we get exhorted to do every single year? This. Spend time with them. I remember one guy came to one of the conferences. He's like, oh, I could learn so much from these learned scholars. And it basically sum him up. He's like, yeah, but what the Lord cares about is, do you know me? Not, do you know my word? Can you quote it? We got some guys like Don McClure. He can quote chapters at a time of the Bible. And it's like, wow, that's brilliant. But I'm impressed by someone that knows Jesus, not just read his book. Does that make sense? It's like, if you know the author of a book, isn't that so much more awesome than reading the book? Okay, we need both. You get both with God. But you know the author. The author and finisher of our faith. That's Jesus. So you got to remember, for you, it'll be different. For me, it's spending time with him, fellowshipping with him, doing that Mary ministry, tending to that one thing. Your life has one need, more important than everything else on your calendar, everything else in your to-do list, your whole project management system. In fact, if that just blows up or dies and goes away, well, you still need to tend to things. Need to tend to bills, You know, wives, don't sit there and come and hate on me if that happens. And then your husband's like, look, let's just spend time with you. No, we got to pay the bills. Don't blame me. You got to take care of what you need to take care of. But according to the word of God and the words of Jesus here, you, in your life, you have one main need, one main thing depicted by Mary. I like how it's not very specific. Why? Because for each of us, it'll be kind of an amalgamation of, you could say, three things in your daily devotional time. For some of us, we're more music-oriented. Who are the people that are music-oriented? Okay, some of you guys are. You like to sing. Great.
Not well.
Yeah. Hey, everybody in the shower is a professional singer, right? You're a great reverb in the shower. So some people are more music-oriented. For me, I've been greatly convicted throughout the years. Grab your guitar. Worship me. For some of you, maybe it's a matter of listening to worship songs. And that's okay too. That's great. And by the way, on YouTube, you could find some great YouTube channels that are all about Christian instrumental worship music. I'll throw on the headphones and just kind of zone out where I'm listening to the Lord, I'm reading His Word, I'm studying, doing other things while all the chaos is around me. That keeps my heart and mind focused on the Lord and wanting to hear from Him. For some of us, it's more Bible study. And for some of us, it might be just on our knees, on our face in prayer. You need all three. Amen. But for each of us, it'll be different. Okay, so figure that out with the Lord. And we're going to close here in a word of prayer in just a bit. But Susan, can we set up for a time where we have worship at the end? Let me keep it simple. So to recap what we're looking at so far, up to today, can we turn on the AC now? Is it okay? Okay. I know it's a little challenging in here because we've got these skylights too, all the heat and the sun comes in. Oh, thank you. Muchas gracias. All right. Can I say, just to continue on as we recap here? Oh, I guess you don't see it here. But dedicate your life to one thing. If you could dedicate your life to one thing, hearing from the Lord, hearing from Him. When you're studying the Bible, endeavor to hear from Him. Don't just read His words, listen. Listen to His conviction. There it is. Thank you. So dedicate your life to that one thing. You find here in verse 42. Hearing from the Lord. One thing is needed. These are not my words. These are the words of Jesus. So it's not the works that you might do publicly for Him, or even going to work throughout the week, or studying, or whatever you busy your 24 hours of each day with. But what are you doing in learning how to hear from Him? And if you think you've heard or you're getting convicted on something, back it up with the Bible. If it's, no, I feel like it, don't trust your feelings. Amen? Who here has been conned by their own feelings? The fickleness of the heart. That's each and every one of us. Don't ever trust your feelings. You know how it is? You go to sleep one night, it's like, oh, yes, I'm praising you. Yes. You wake up 8 hours later or whenever you wake up, like, I don't feel like getting out of bed. What happened? It's called the flesh, your emotions, right? I feel it. No. Choose God's word over feeling every time. Amen? Who here has been burned by their feelings? And you come back, you read in the Bible, you're like, oh, I should have just read this and done this. And all the while, the Holy Spirit, because you didn't spend time to hear and listen to His still small voice, the gentle conviction, and get to know His peace that passes understanding. Colossians 2 verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You baseball fans might like that word for rule. The original Greek language means to be an umpire. He wants to call the shots. So learn to discern His peace. Jesus says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. You'll find that in John's gospel. So in other words, your flesh will try to convince you. Your conscience is not God either. Amen? I feel like it. This person said that. Oh, they quoted the Bible. So does Satan. Get to know God and His word, and you won't be deceived. Amen? That's the, not just conviction, that's the command throughout the Bible. So dedicate your life to this one thing, hearing from the Lord. Within context of my life, and for us here as a congregation, I believe the Lord's wanting us to remain worshipers. So let's spend time worshiping Him, just in simplicity here, before we go out. So more Mary time, so to speak. Make sense? More time worshiping Him before we go out, because just minutes from now, we'll be on the sidewalks on the street. We're almost ready. All right, I'll let you know. All right, let's all stand, please, can we? Spend some time worshiping Him. I'm going to close this with a word of prayer. So as we worship, if any of you wants prayer, I'm just going to invite you to come up so I can pray for you. Maybe it's these things that we discussed here. Maybe you need God's empowerment and anointing. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. Teach us, train us to be more like Mary, to focus on this one thing, the one need we have in life, even more than air, more than food, more than working and paying the bills, because those things will come and go. Needs will come and go. People will come and go. Family members come and go. Our moods, our feelings, those things are fickle. They'll come and go. But you're eternal, and you want us to focus on a relationship with you. You're going to prevent us from crashing. You'll prevent us from burning out even, because, Lord, we can't burn out by sitting at your feet. So train us to hear from you, to worship you, to listen for and to obey your words. Thank you for the example of Mary of Bethany. Train us to focus on, to dedicate our lives to this one need, that we would train ourselves to learn how to hear from you and to obey what you say. But empower us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.